Shikhar, thank you for the beautiful introduction. Very undeserved. Thank you. Should be a Eloi Neshama for Sarabasha Bas Yitzchak. Baruch Ato Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Sha'akol Niyeh B'dvaro.
Amen.
You heard of the camel. I want to thank the Wiesel family very much, and a tremendous Yashar Koach as well to Reb Phil for facilitating everything. Thank you so much for all your hard work. So I have to share with you a story that happened. There was a rabbi and a bus driver that both passed away. And the bus driver was escorted by the malachim, by the angels, immediately to heaven, to Gan Eden, and the rabbi, they were deliberating. They were uncertain what they should do with the rabbi. And the rabbi was incredulous. The rabbi said, "I don't understand. All my life, I pastored, I ministered, I counseled. I was a rabbi. All he did was drive a bus. He goes straight to heaven, and me, trying to figure out my fate?" And the angel said, "Yes, Rabbi, you see, when you spoke, the people slept. When he drove, the people prayed. So I'm going to ask you, I know that the hour's late. You all have hangover from Purim, fatigue and exasperation, exhaustion. Please don't fall asleep on me." Tonight we're going to talk about Ahavas Chesed. Ahavas Chesed was written, the book Ahavas Chesed was written by the Chofetz Chaim. Loving kindness. The Chofetz Chaim truly personified and epitomized kindness. Now it sounds cliche and trite to say that, I know. I'm going to prove it. His entire life trajectory was predicated and founded on chesed. Do you know that the Chofetz Chaim had a very turbulent and challenging life? He was orphaned at 10 years old. No one could have ever prognosticated, no one could have ever forecast or predicted that the Chofetz Chaim, Yisrael Meir, this little boy Yisrael Meir, would become the Gadol Hadar, the most prestigious and illustrious and paramount Gadol of many, many generations. Everything was stacked against him. Born into an indigent, poverty-stricken home. He was a Kohen, but no lineage or pedigree to speak about other than that. His father passed away when he was 10 years old. Orphaned. Physical height, he never grew to be past 5 feet. When he turned 16 years old, despite all the obstacles and impediments, he rose amongst his peers to become the Arisha the Chabura, the lion in the group, and achieved prominence as being a budding scholar and sage. And there were families that were soliciting him, that were courting him for their daughters, offering very exorbitant and handsome dowries. He was going to prove himself. And then something happened. A tremendous nisoyon, a tremendous tribulation and test. This boy, who persevered despite all the challenges, could have, would have, and should have become a great man. But his mother had remarried. And her husband was keen on one thing, and that was his own daughter, Yisrael Meir's stepsister, becoming the husband, the wife rather, of Yisrael Meir. Halachically, there's nothing wrong with the stepbrother and stepsister marrying. It may be a little awkward, And the Chofetz Chaim's stepfather was very persuasive and adamant, cajoled his wife. Cajole is probably packaging his arguments with niceties. He told his wife that if you don't allow this marriage to come to fruition, if you don't allow the shidduch to develop between my daughter and your Yisrael Meir, that you may not have shelter. And the mother said, by no means, absolutely not. I will not allow the shidduch to go through. My son has promise. He has potential. He has a future. He marries your daughter. He's stuck. Did I forget to mention that she was 10 years his senior? 27 years old, an old maid. Especially back in those times when they got married to teens. She wouldn't hear of it. Chofetz Chaim was privy to the conversation when he came home from his study in yeshiva. And the Chofetz Chaim approached his mother and he said, Mom, I will not allow your shalom bias to be disrupted. And the Chofetz Chaim performed the ultimate chesed in order to preserve, in order to maintain his mother's semblance of normalcy, his mother's future. He married his stepsister. The ultimate chesed. Sacrificing, perhaps even forsaking, a brilliant future and abandoning a tremendous promise. But the Ribbono Shel Olam never, ever, ever allows a chesed to be unrewarded. And later on, the Chofetz Chaim testified that it was because he married his stepsister. He became the Chofetz Chaim. He said while his contemporaries and peers got very handsome dowries, they ended up deserting Torah scholarship. But his wife made sure that he became the Talmud Chacham that he became. And we have today the Chofetz Chaim, Shmir Salashon, Avas Chesed, Mishneh Berurah, and countless other works because of the ultimate chesed performed by Rabbi Yisrael Meir HaKohen, Pupko. The Chofetz Chaim. I have a personal connection with Chofetz Chaim Avas Chesed because my Rebbe, Rabbi Pamzatzal, who was a brilliant Talmud Chacham, in his Sabo, in his last Little Testament, he bequeathed to us a charge, and it was not to learn Gemara. He taught Gemara for years. It was not to learn Shulchan Aruch. I received my smicha in Shulchan Aruch from Rabbi Pam. He taught Shulchan Aruch for years, your day. Rather, it was to learn Sefer Ahavas Chesed, loving kindness, by the Chofetz Chaim. Rabbi Pam was known to be the Chofetz Chaim of America, the Chofetz Chaim of his generation. Rav Pam was someone who encountered every single person with a cheerful countenance, and ennobled and enabled and kindled, ignited every person he met and infused them with a hope, with a spark of godliness. I have one recollection that I'd like to share tonight of many recollections of Rav Pam. When Rabbi Pam passed away, I was present at the Shiva home. His Rebbetzin was sitting Shiva. And there was someone there who was known to be as a vagabond, a vagrant, someone who many people ostracized for good reason. He reeked from an unpleasant odor. He was not someone who was Ma'uruv Ma'brios. He wasn't someone who really was able to co-mingle with others pleasantly. A sweet soul. And I'll never forget. I was in the same room offering Nicham Avelim to the Rebbetzin, Nechama to the Rebbetzin, with this man. And the Rebbetzin turned to this man and said to him, we'll call him Yankel. She said, Yankel, I'm sorry. You lost your friend. Unbelievable. It hit me like a ton of bricks. To the whole world, this man was a vagabond. Torf Pam. Who understood what Ahavas Chesed means. He was a friend. And all the man did was nod. And she kept on saying, I'm sorry that you lost your friend. Chesed. You know, there was a man who was a Talmud of Rabbi Pam, a student of the Yeshiva Torah Vadas, whose father was very ill in the hospital. He had an illness that was incurable. And his final wish to his son was that Rabbi Pam come visit him in the hospital. And the son refused to comply because he knew how burdened Rabbi Pam was and how overwhelmed and consumed he was by his work as a Rosh Yeshiva, teaching Torah and ministering to the Talmidim, and had on his shoulders the world of fears of Torah Jewry. But the man kept on insisting, and he said, please, will you bring Rabbi Pam to see me? And finally, the son relented, and he went to Rabbi Pam, and he said, I'm so sorry. He felt, you know, so uncomfortable and so queasy. He said, but Rebbe, would you please go see this man in the hospital? And Rabbi Pam said, immediately, he said, I would love to. He said, but I don't go to hospitals, I'm a Kohen. I'm afraid there could be a corpse in the hospital, a Jewish corpse in the hospital. And the man looked devastated. He was so disappointed. Rabbi Pam said, don't worry. He says, tell me. He says, what floor is your father on in the hospital? And I think he said it was the 12th floor. He says, what street does his window face? And he told him. He says, well, let's make a date. Let's schedule a time. Tuesday at 2 p.m., if you can bring your father to the window. And he did. He brought his father to the window on Tuesday at 2 p.m. They looked outside, and who was there on the street level waving? One of the busiest men in the world, Rabbi Pam, went to wave and to blow kisses. Ahavas Chesed. You know, the Gemara says, the Talmud says in Tractate Makos, page Chaf Gimel, speaks of Rabbi Simloy. Rabbi Simloy was a 3rd century Amora. And he was an innovator. He was a pioneer because before Rabbi Simloy, no one had thought of cataloging and chronicling and classifying and coding the mitzvos. The codifier of mitzvos was Rabbi Simloy, who told us that there are 613 mitzvos, corresponding to the limbs and the organs and the sinews and tissues of the human body, 248 positive commandments corresponding to the organs and limbs, and 365 negative commandments corresponding to our hormones, our sinews and tissues. 248 plus 365 totalities to 613. And as an outgrowth and a byproduct of that, the Gaonim and Rishonim, many of them grappled in deciphering what exactly are the 613 mitzvahs, entire Svarim, the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Sefer HaChinuch. And many more were dedicated to deciphering and decoding and elucidating which are the 613 mitzvahs. This same Rabbi Simloy is quoted in the Gemara Talmud Tractate Sota, page Yudalit, where he says that the entire Torah, the raison d'etre of Torah, the entire function, mission, and purpose of the Torah is to build and mold a chesed personality. Someone who is saturated and permeated, ingrained with the noble attribute and characteristic of living chesed. And he said Rabbi Simloi, that chilasa, the beginning of the Torah, is chesed, where the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Baal Shefer, the Creator, clothes Adam and Chava. And the end of the Torah is chesed, where he buries Moshe Rabbeinu. And this signifies for us something that is so, so important. And that is, if you want to know what exactly is in consonance with Torah, what typifies the Torah, what is the Torah really all about, it boils down to chesed, to developing a personality, a persona that is replete and inherently, intrinsically, innately built on chesed, kindness. And that's why, encrypted and encoded in Torah is chesed. How do we know that? Tough of Reishay Torah. Tough is, of course, 400, and Vav is 6, and Reish is 200, and Hay is 5, is 611. The precise gematria of Gemilos Chasadim, 611. But it goes further. Because the Torah Shel Asav is deficient and devoid and barren without the Torah Shel Baal Peh. The Talmud is our blood. Ask the North Koreans. Don't ask them anything. It's not the North Koreans, it's the South Koreans. South Koreans today are buying up the Talmud. As they say, the secret to the wisdom of the Jew is all in the Talmud. It's not just a secret to our wisdom. It's a secret to why the Jews are the most philanthropic and charitable people. There are more gemachs, gemilos chasadim organizations amongst the Jews than anywhere else on the planet. We love doing chesed. Talmud, Tuf Lamed Mem Vav Dalet, is 480. The precise gematria of ahavas chesed, loving kindness. It's not enough to be a gomel chesed, to be someone that bestows, to be a benefactor of kindness, to be magnanimous and gracious. That's not enough. We have to be ohavei chesed, to love kindness. Every single opportunity we have, to run, to jump, to have a zeal, an alacrity, and a zest, and a fervor, and a gusto, and a passion. Not to wait for chesed to come to you, but for you to jump at a chesed opportunity. I want to tell you the power of chesed, the extraordinary power of chesed that can transform you and your lives and those around you. But first, I'd like to share with you what chesed can accomplish. Because sometimes it takes insincerity in order to develop and build conviction and sincerity. So may you not be the most altruistic person out there. You may have selfish motives, but that's okay. Because once you touch the beauty of chesed, it becomes contagious. The Gemara in Baba Basra, one of my most favorite Gemaras, it's in tractate Baba Basra, Daf Yud Aleph. And it speaks about someone known as Binyamin HaTzadik. This appellation, Tzadik, is a rarity. As a matter of fact, in the Torah Shel Asav, there's only one person, explicit mention, with this appellation, this title, Tzadik. Who is that? Noach Ish Tzadik. Yosef, there's a reference in the Tanakh, it's actually, good point, in Amos, Perek Beis, Pasuk Vav, chapter 2, verse 6, where it speaks about the fact that the Jewish brothers sold their brother, Bekesef, with money, they sold the Tzadik. It doesn't say Yosef, but Tzadik, but everybody knows who's referring to. The Talmud, the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Lamed Hei Amud Beis, says that Yosef HaTzadik, refers to him as Yosef HaTzadik. Perhaps there's another person known as a tzaddik, not in Tanakh, but in the entire Talmud, there's Binyamin HaTzadik, but there's also Shimon HaTzadik mentioned in Mishnah and others. But in the Talmud and the Gemara, it's Binyamin HaTzadik. The only time he was a Tana, Talmudic personality. It's the only time he's mentioned. Find me another time he's mentioned, you win $1,000. I'm not going to pay it though. If I'm not mistaken. As a matter of fact, you could go visit his Matseva. You could go visit his cave. It's in Tzfas. Binyamin HaTzadik. Binyamin HaTzadik was an administrator of a charitable fund. He gave out tzedakah charity. And one day, a woman, a widow, with her 7 sons. To me, that always conjured up Chana and her 7 sons. I have no way of verifying or authenticating whether it was indeed Chana and her 7 sons. I don't know. But it was a widow with her 7 sons, and the widow approached this Binyamin and begged and implored him for charity. She said that they are starving, they're famished. And Binyamin said, I'm terribly sorry, but the funds are depleted. There is nothing available in the coffer. There's nothing available in the trust any longer. And the woman cried. And Binyamin HaTzadik felt her pain. And Binyamin said, I will give you from my own. And I imagine he wasn't a person of means. He was probably himself, someone that was struggling. But he had an opportunity to do chesed. And he reached into his heart and opened his heart. And he gave the woman the funds to live for herself and her 7 children. The Gemara recounts that shortly after that, Binyamin was stricken with some kind of malady, sickness, and he was moribund. He was about to die. The Malachi Hashareis, the angels, the celestial divine beings upstairs, they said, Rabbanu Shel, Master of the Universe, this is someone that was Mekayim, not one nefesh. The Gemara tells us, the Talmud says in Sanhedrin, that if you save one life, it's as if you saved an entire world. He saved 8 lives. And the Gemara says that Hashem acquiesced and relented, and he was rewarded 22 additional years. Ask the Mefarshim, ask the commentaries, how was that commensurate? 22 years for saving the widow and her 7 sons, these 8 precious lives. What does 22 represent? The Chasam Sofer says that each of these 7 children would be chayiv and puravu when they reach marriageable age. They should have their own children. And the minimum requisite shear is 2 children, a boy and a girl. And therefore, when he was saving these 8 people, in essence, in reality, he was saving the 7 children that would yield one day each 2 children, which a total of 14 grandchildren of the widow, plus the 7 children and the widow is 22. And for each child, Binyamin was rewarded 22 years. The Ibn Yaakov has another approach, a fascinating approach, where he says in 22 years, there are also leap years. And he says that in 22 years, there will be 14 average years, typical years, and 8 atypical, more anomalous leap years. A leap year has 13 months, as we all well know. So he says that 14 times 12 plus 8 times 13 is precisely 272, which is Ra'av, Resh Ayin Bey's famine, starvation. And because he averted and spared them from starvation, that's why he received that amount of years. But comes along the Vilna Gaon and says something absolutely astonishing. The Gra, the Gaon, says that the Gemara in Bav Basra earlier in Daf Tes tells us that if you give charity to somebody, you get five blessings. Five zikus and five merits. However, there's charity and there's charity. If you go ahead and give charity with a smile, with a kind word, if you give tzedakah with chesed, with sweetness, pleasant, you bolster the person's spirit, you uplift them, you elevate them, then you get six additional brachas for a total of 11. The Gemara in Sota Daf Chaf Aleph tells us that when you do a chesed for somebody, you actually accrue for yourself in reserves 3 additional months of life. So says it on the Gemara that Binyamin HaTzadik was pious and righteous and kind and giving, and he gave 8 people life with sweetness. Well, 11 times 3 is 33, times 8 is 266. 266 months equals precisely 22 years. You know what this teaches us? Aside from the fact that it's brilliant, astounding, and sheer knowledge of the Vilna Gaon, I was able to correlate different Gemaras and the synchronicity and the symmetry, the harmony of it all. You know what it tells us? It tells us that when you do a chesed, you get 3 months of life. Wow. 3 months of life by doing a chesed. And next time you get a phone call, whether it's to participate in a Shiva minyan, God forbid, or to do a bigger home visit, or if you just have an opportunity, you see somebody who looks downcast, and you're busy, and you just walk the other way, remember, don't walk, run. Do that mitzvah. 3 months. How can we do chesed? In the Aseres HaDibros, in the Ten Commandments, is a very interesting commandment, in the very beginning. It says, Lo sasa lecha pesa. Don't make for yourself a molten image. Avodah Zarah, it's idolatry. Says Rabbi Aaron of Karlin, the Karlin Rebbe, something so beautiful, it resonates with me, and it changed my entire attitude and perspective. This is worth millions of dollars. Losas l'chopes, remember, Torah is multilateral. Torah is full of profundity. Torah is not superficial, you see, with the words, but it has many different parshat and remes and drush and sodal, the different layers. Says the Karliner, that when it says Lo Sas Lecha Peso, it's communicating another idea as well. You know what that is? Lo Sas Lecha Peso. Do not become someone that is a peso, a posler. A posler means a negator, a nullifier, someone who doesn't believe in others. Don't become an invalidator. Now, a lot of us, naturally, for some reason, I don't think it's natural, I think we just became contaminated and polluted and jaded to become skeptics and cynics. That's not the way we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be ecstatic and euphoric, to be alive and share that joy of life with others. And we're supposed to be there to uplift people and to elevate people and infuse people with hope, with faith. You know, the first commandment is Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I'm the Lord thy God, to believe in God. But there's another commandment that immediately follows. And that is, believe in God, but also believe in others. Believe in God's children. It's not enough to believe in Hashem. Show your belief in others. L'sasul chapesa. Don't become someone that passes. Become someone that kashers others.
that believes in others. You know how many people today are despondent? Miayesh? And all they need is someone to put their arm around them. With a kind word. Rabbi Pam, my Rebbe, used to say that, you know, God has an infinite array of words that He could employ in Lashon HaKodesh. So why did He invent the word Teva to mean ark, and the same word means a vert, a word? Teva means a word. What's an ark? Noah's ark. It's a place of refuge. It's a safe haven. A place where you could survive. Said Rabbi Pam, that's precisely a teva, a word. Because words could destroy, words could cripple, words could debilitate and paralyze. How many people have suffered from emotional abuse by people that allegedly and purportedly love them? But words could also save. And words could build. And words could save lives. And that's why a teva is an ark. A word is a refuge. It's a safe haven. And that's what our job is, says the Kalimah. We're supposed to build up people. And that's why the Torah, when it speaks about the Sinai revelation, God revealing Himself, Vayered Hashem, the Pasuk says, Vayered Hashem, I'll see that God descended to Sinai. You ever think about it? Why did God come down to us? Wouldn't it not have been more appropriate for us to levitate and ascend to God? God could have done anything. A magic potion sprinkled over us, and all of a sudden, it would have been a lot more fun. And magical, and mystical, and ethereal, for us to all of a sudden start ascending to God, meeting God, at least halfway. Why has God come down to us? And the lesson is, it's a lesson of chesed. God was showing us, don't make other people come to your level. Go down to other people's levels. Vayered Hashem, God was willing to descend to teach us an immortal, eternal lesson. And that is that it's up to us to lower ourselves, to accommodate others, and to welcome others into our domain, and to be the catalysts and mobilizers for others. I'll never forget. I knew a young man who suffered a lot. And he swore off religion, grew up in a religious home. But he had certain types of negative experiences that seared his emotions and caused an indelible imprint of pain. And most people that rebel against Yiddishkeit, Judaism, they're not rebelling against God. They don't know God enough. They're just rebelling against God's representatives. Sometimes it's the parents and sometimes it's the teachers. And this boy, to him, Yiddishkeit was an anathema. He recoiled. He found it repulsive. Tragically. So what am I going to do? Bring him to me or go to him? Vayered Hashem. I loved him. And I hugged him. I'll never forget the first time I saw him. I hugged him and he said to me, could you please hug me again? Wow. Unbelievable. The Yad Hashem, the providence. I didn't know that he was a health freak. I had no idea. The night that we were able to persuade him, it wasn't me, it was actually my brother, who answered the helpline at BJX and persuaded him to come to the class. I prepared a class. Little did I know that he would come. Little did I know the impact that it would make on his life. Because I spoke about health and nutrition, the Torah, sources. And he sat there so entranced and captivated, riveted. I had no idea who he was.
You know what?
When you love a fellow Jew, when you want to do chesed, Hashem gives you siyata d'shamayim. But you can't expect others to be like you. You have to go down to others. Vayered Hashem. Don't passel others. Don't judge others. We have to be as inclusive and tolerant and open-minded as possible to bring everybody closer to Hashem. That's the ultimate chesed. It's giving a person their birthright, giving a person their heritage, and letting a person feel loved by Hashem. There's no greater chesed than letting a person feel belonging. And letting a person feel that they have a home to belong to. And that's why says the Pesik the Rabbos, and says the Medrash Tanchuma HaYoshim, something utterly amazing. If I didn't see it myself, I would think that it was Chas V'Shalom heresy. You know what it says? It says that God spoke the inaugural address to the Jewish people, the investiture, the inauguration. His first word was, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I'm the Lord your God. Anochi, says the Pesik the Rabbos in the Medrash Tanchuma HaYoshim, was not a Hebrew word, it wasn't Lashon Kodesh. It was actually Egyptian. Not only that, the Hadar, Zakenim, Bali Tos was saying that it wasn't only Anochi, but rather the entire Aseret HaDibros, according to his opinion, was recited in Egyptian. Not in Hebrew. God spoke Egyptian. Listen, Jews can eat sushi, I guess God can speak Egyptian, right? I don't know how we survived all those thousands of years without sushi. I'm telling you, by us, we cannot have any event without serving sushi. Everything, there's food, they have to have sushi, you know. It's almost like a religious rite of passage, like a sushi. I don't understand it. So it's interesting. Anochi is Egyptian? How do you explain such a thing? Not only that. It's a big question because the Medrash tells us Shaloshinos Lashonim, that the Jewish people didn't change their language. One of the reasons that they were entitled to be liberated from Egypt from the tyranny and oppression of enslavement was that they didn't change their language. They were faithful and loyal and had allegiance to Lashon HaKodesh. If that's the case, then why would God speak to them in Egyptian? So on that, the Radal, Rav David Luria, and the Radak, Rav David Kimchi, they explain that perhaps the Jewish people in their homes, in the shtub, as we say, Hamish, you know, in the homes, they spoke Hebrew. But on the outside, they spoke Egyptian. That was the common, that was the parlance that they spoke. The vernacular that they spoke on the outside was all Egyptian. It's interesting that the Ma'or V'Shemesh says that they did indeed, Shaloshios L'Shonim does not mean that they spoke Hebrew. They would have never survived in Egypt just by speaking Hebrew. They did speak, the vernacular was in Egyptian, but they didn't speak a vulgar crass. They never ever uttered any type of nivel, any type of indecent. It was always a clean language, and that's how they distinguish and differentiate themselves. The Shlomo Kalo says that the Erev Rav spoke Egyptian. You know what the lesson is? The lesson is that God potentially, Rabban Shalom, spoke in Egyptian. You know why? It was his first encounter with the Jewish people, and they were startled, they were petrified. They had anxiety, they were scared. So he speaks to them in a language that they feel comfortable, to ease in the tension. Or maybe to accommodate every person, even the Erev Rav. What an unbelievable lesson. You know what the lesson is? The lesson is that if Hashem could say a foreign language, what does it tell us? To make people feel comfortable. To make things accessible to people. To be inclusive. How much more so should we be kind and noble to others? Be paragons of chesed. To make every person feel happy. To make every person feel loved.
There is a disease that's afflicting the world, the Jewish world now, where many Jews walk around depressed. It's very, very sad. Everybody's got their pekulach. Not enough Jews are smiling. Not enough Jews are bitten with the bug of chesed, of being a baal chesed, being an owner of chesed, of making it the definition, the hallmark, the trademark of their lives, that I am a baal chesed. I want to do chesed. Do you know that there are scientific studies from UCLA and Harvard and other universities that show the more chesed you do, the happier you become? So not only do you get 3 months of life, but you know what the Gemara says in Sotah? The Gemara says, "V'halach b'drachav," that we have a command as Jewish people to follow, to emulate God. Imitatio Dei, as it says in the Latin, emulating, imitating God. So the Gemara asks, how can you follow God? God's a consuming fire, he's Eshel Cheles. God is omnipotent, God's all powerful. How do you follow God? You know what the Gemara says? You do chesed. Do chesed! That's what God's all about! God's telling us, I want you to be divine! Become a divine being! We need you to be divine! When you become divine, you know how you become divine? By doing chesed. There's a man, Baruch Hashem, this past month turned 90 years old. He is the world, he holds, I think, if I'm not mistaken, the world record, the Guinness Book of World Record, on the most Bris Milos ever performed. He's a very prolific writer, and Moel, his name is Rabbi Rami Kohn. If you never met him, I strongly encourage you to meet him. One of the heroes of the Jewish people. He was a partisan fighting the Nazis. I had the great pleasure of meeting him. I'll never forget an experience that we shared. With his bare hands, as a teenager, he killed Nazis, fulfilled the dictum of Timcha Ezekra Molik, of obliterating a Molik. He had to do it for survival while he was hiding in the forest. I'll never forget, I was present at a bris milah he performed on an adult who was not born Jewish, but through tremendous fervor and dedication decided to become Jewish. And the hands that killed the Nazis were the same hands that were bringing this person into the covenant of Avraham Avinu. Rami Kohn came from Pressburg, Breslavia, Czechoslovakia, which for a while was immune from the Nazis, from the Third Reich, from the Germans. And his family, his father was sort of a diplomat and got basically an economic exemption, was basically protected for a while. And there were refugees coming from Poland that were looking to be protected. And these refugees were infested with lice and nobody wanted to take them in. There was one man who said, if my own brothers or sisters, my own biological brothers or sisters, will be infested with lice, would I abandon and neglect them? Every Jew is my brother and sister. And he did the chesed. And he took them into the home. Rabbi Rami Kohn says that later on, when his father was in the concentration camps, every single person in the camps, Treblinka and Birkenau and Auschwitz, was infested with lice, except for one person. Who was that one person? His father. Said Rabbi Rami Kohn, my father was spared because he did the chesed of taking that family. Hashem rendered him immune to lice. That's the power of chesed. Never give up a chesed opportunity. It makes you divine, it gives you 3 months of life, and it immunizes you. Inoculates you from suffering. I want to share with you something that I found absolutely amazing. That was said by none other than Rav Aaron Leib Steinman, passed away just very was 2 years ago, Gadol Hador. He said, if you look at America, I never observed this. He said, if you look at America, in the World War I and II, America suffered the least devastation at home. There were not really any domestic attacks. And think about it, you had Hiroshima, but other than that, other countries suffered terribly. It was cataclysmic, it was catastrophic what other countries suffered. Said Rabbi Steinman, you know why America suffered so little? And if you, the grand scheme of things, almost nil, barely. Said Rabbi Steinman, because America was a Medina Shel Chesed. It was a country of Chesed. They took care of other countries, and they took in refugees. And that's where America was spared. Wow. So it's not only an individual, it's a global phenomenon of Chesed. We just read the Megillah. Mordechai, Ben Yoyer, Ben Shimon, Ben Kish, Ishimini. A whole genealogy over there. Mordechai Ben Yoyer, says the Gemara in Megillah Daf Yudeis, that Mordechai Ben Yoyer, he was one that enlightened the Jewish people with prayer. Ben Shimi Shomea, that's Shomea Philos, Rav Shom listened to his prayers. Ben Kish, what does Kish mean? So the Gemara says that Kish means that he knocked on the door of Shemayim for Rachamim for mercy. Says the Gra on Tefillah, on the Siddur, that Mordechai knocked on the door in heavens for mercy. And the reason why he was answered is because he did chesed below and cared about every single Jew. Chesed. Chesed. Chesed can change your life. It makes you into a better human being. It makes you into a holier Jew. It makes you divine. What greater power to have than to be divine-like? Halachta b'drachov. It gives you extra months of life. It immunizes you and protects you. And when you do chesed, you change the world around you. But more importantly, you change yourself. I want to thank you all for coming and thank you for listening. I appreciate it immensely. Thank you.